This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody. Happy E3's Eve. This is episode 42 of the Polykill podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. I am one for the older games. I like the classics. And my first car was a beat-up four-door white 91 Chevy Cavalier.
Hi, I'm Jake. I'm the other half of the podcast. And I am on Instagram and Twitter at TheMcAxel. And I play a lot of the newer games, newer releases, also known as better games.
That's not true.
My first car was a 1989 two-door hatchback Honda Accord.
Nice. A lot of rust or no?
No, it's good shape.
Oh, I had plenty of rust.
Yeah, all right, probably cool. Did. And this is episode 42. This is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
This is from a Tim Allen movie, right? Doesn't he say that?
Oh, God. No, this is from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Isn't he in that movie?
Hitchhiker?
Yeah.
No.
He's not?
No.
What am I thinking of?
I don't think he is. I mean, I don't know. It's also Jackie Robinson's jersey number, so that's important.
That's even more important.
More important than the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? I don't know about that. It's a tall order.
Anyway, we are at Polykill on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
If you would, we have an off-kilter episode coming up that is about concerts? Concerts,
yeah.
Outdoor festivals, anything,
yeah.
A crowd. Have you been in a crowd and stabbed anybody? Let us know. Email us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com to share all your stories that we will then share on your behalf on our podcast.
Yeah.
So we need you to give us content for our own show.
We've got some.
Yes, we do. And then also, don't forget to check out polykill.com because Brian posted an article about his favorite Star Wars game. So if you'd like to beat him up over his choices, you can contact him at HookieBriz there on Twitter.
Yeah, he left out Rogue Squadron, so I was a little mad about that, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a PC kid. What can we say?
So, recent pickups and on the radar.
On the radar.
Games that I've picked up. So,
yeah.
Xbox, actually right after or right near the last podcast that we did, Xbox had a back compat deal.
Oh, they had a big sale.
They did have a big sale, and I picked up a handful of games like old school Ghostbusters, like 2009, that one.
One that's basically Ghostbusters 3.
Yes, widely revered as the third one. Had all the writers and the actors on board there. Ikaruga, a game I was looking for on the GameCube, but hey, guess what? It was like $2.50 on Xbox back compat deals, so instead of paying $50, I paid $2.50.
There you go.
Pretty good. And then Portal 2.
Yeah.
I did pick that up as well. And I just realized I need to add that to another part of my sheet.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Well, you also picked up another one.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Let me scroll back up now. I wanted you to say things. Telltale Walking Dead Season 3. They had a little Telltale sale. It was
that's fun to say.
Yeah, it is. It was $15 for the brand new Walking Dead whole season.
Yeah.
Getting two episodes for free with that deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great deal. I haven't heard much about this game. But, you know, it's weird to me that Telltale games sort of just pop out and make, you know, all the money that they need to make so they can keep making games. But there's never a huge amount of fanfare around the release date or around the game itself. Like, you know, I think initially we were all like blown away by how good the stories in those games were and how moving and emotional they were. But after that initial like spike of interest in Telltale games, I feel like everybody still is interested, but there's not a lot of coverage about it. It's just like, you know, Telltale be like, hey, we got a new episode coming out Thursday, so be on the lookout. And that's like as much as you hear about it. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. They're a bit of a phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah.
You did pick up some games then.
I did. I went a little stupid, so I'm going to slow back down. Maybe not to the extent that I was for the first half of the year, but I did get some good deals, and then one I did got no deal on. So I picked up Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valentia, And that is a basically a 3DS remake reimagining of one of the original run Fire Emblem games back on the NES from 1992, I think. It was on Famicom. It never made it to the West. So they basically remade that, localized it, and it's fully voiced. And it adds a lot of new wrinkles to the Fire Emblem formula, simplifies some things, and then adds a depth in other areas. So pretty cool pickup. I got the collector's edition. Yeah. So I got the game, a soundtrack, a hardback art book, and a collection of pins of the main characters.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Hmm. Pretty sweet. So I picked that up from Amazon. So I got that pre-order, you know, new release, 20% discount for Prime members. So I did not pay full price for that. Mm-hmm. I picked up XCOM 2 on the PSN sale that was happening last week.
Boy, she's a toughie.
Yeah, I haven't really dove in. I played the tutorial mission. This was the deluxe edition or whatever they called the one with everything on this release. You know, each game has a subtitle for its, you know.
Yeah, the definitive or the gold deluxe, or game of the year, or whatever.
Ultimate, platinum, whatever. So it was this version for $30. So it was like $45 off. So I was like, yeah, I want to play that. So that seems like the best way to do that. Half of what I would normally pay for the game, plus all the extra shit. So I was pretty proud of that pickup. I grabbed Halo Wars 2.
Yeah.
And this one's kind of out of left field.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to play this game.
Yeah, not something I could saw you picking up. Because I remember having a conversation about a year ago, and you're like, I don't care about that one.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care about it.
I started caring about it. Mainly just because I'm really digging the whole strategy vibe and the whole strategic, slower gameplay that you get in a Fire Emblem or an XCOM or something like that.
Yeah, you got a thing going on here right now.
That's sort of the headspace that I'm in. And Gamefly, I don't know if you're familiar with that, the game rental company, like the Netflix for games.
Sure.
They have all the time lots of these games on sale. Like, I don't know if any of you who seek out newer games check their website, but they have sales constantly, and they have like a bargain bin, so you can pick up some pretty good games pretty cheap. So I got this one for $20, so, you know, and it's still 60 in stores, so
yeah, less than a year old.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it came out in February.
Matter of months. Yeah.
So it's you know, check that place out, guys. You know, I don't know if they ship to Canada or if it's available in Canada, but if you're in the U.S. or maybe check if you're in Canada, but you can get some good deals, you know, on pretty much every platform.
Or if you're in Argentina.
Or Argentina. Yeah.
We have an Argentinian listener.
We do. That's right. I got a couple more. I got the long dick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
That was a good reaction.
I get excited about long dick.
So you do. The Long Dark. Now, this is a game that I love. It was kickstarted a couple years ago. It's still in development, but it is one of the better survival games. It's basically you're in the frozen Canadian tundra after an electromagnetic storm knocks out power for most of the northern hemisphere, and you have to survive, and you're on your own. Right now, most of the game is just a sandbox survival, single player only, but they are going to be adding story mode, so it's going to have multiple chapters and a single player campaign.
Okay.
So, pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last, but definitely not least.
So many games here, man. You smoked the whole pack.
Yeah, I did. I did. I went from cold turkey to a pack a day here. But I picked up Injustice 2. And this one was weird because obviously it's brand new. It's been out for a week and a half, maybe. Came out the 16th. So it's not been out long at all. I had no interest in buying this game initially. But then, just, you know, I saw some gameplay, saw some pictures, and I watched the Easy Allies review of the game. That probably is what pushed me over the edge. But they're like, this game is, you know, they gave it high praise. I think they gave it, you know, 4.5 stars out of 5. So they really liked the game. The thing that pushed me over the edge is there's a lot of single-player content for the game. Mm. So you've got the main story, which I don't know if you've ever played an Injustice game. I don't know if you have.
No.
There's been two. If you're DC Comics interested in that at all, it's great. It takes the characters and puts them in this tumultuous upheaval of shifting alliances, and the story's great. The story in the second one, equally great. Fighting mechanics are good, graphics are amazing, and lots of cool moves and unlockables. They got loot boxes and currency that you can buy new gear with, and you can level up your character, level up your gear. So it's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Nice.
If I'm being honest. So yeah.
Dude, that's a lot of games, man.
Yeah.
Man, like a repressed teenage girl who just blows up and bangs the whole football team. You just exploded with five games here, man. That's great.
Yeah.
Anything on your radar?
No.
No, for me, it's not. You know, obviously I don't have a Switch, but ARMS I thought was one of the few notable releases that's happening the next 2 weeks, so I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
June 16th.
That's cool.
ARMS, punch stuff with your Switch.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, I think we're getting to that summer drought where nobody wants to release anything because they know E3's here and they know people are outside during the summer. So they're like, we'll
I think E3's a great time to release games, though, because people are paying attention. Everybody's hyped for games. And E3, very rarely it happens, but very rarely do games release like during an E3. Mm. So it's a good dry time. People are excited. You know, put a game on a shelf.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying like a big blockbuster, but you know, if you don't want your game to have to compete with other games, this might be the week.
That's a good point.
Nah, I mean. Now it's time for Hot Jakes.
Hot Jakes.
Let's bring it. Hit that Hot Jakes music. These are the topics we're going to cover this week. Far Cry 5 teaser and backlash.
America.
Red Dead Redemption 2 delay.
Yeah.
Castlevania Netflix teaser.
Dracula.
Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Wah-ha!
Stranger Things prequel. Nice. So,
yeah.
Rednecks, Montana, sinners. What do you think? Far Cry 5.
I love this.
You love the backlash?
I like it all.
Oh, yeah.
I like it all. First of all, any time that people get upset about a video game, I sort of laugh. Because, you know, it's a goddamn video game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Get off of your high horse and get down on your low horse with the rest of us.
Yep.
Tiny mini horses. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, little Sebastian.
That's nice.
I think that there is a space for games like this, and I think it's sort of time to explore this. Because immediately when I heard, you know, the rumors circulating around about what Far Cry 5 may be about, the first thing I thought about was that standoff in Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
That happened, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago,
sure,
maybe longer.
Yep.
I thought, they're basically going to take that and make it into a game. Turns out they didn't. But I love cults. I love cult psychology and the mystique around them and the motivations. And if you can set that in a Far Cry game, I think that makes perfect sense, because I think the whole the villain cycle of the Far Cry games of the last at least two, I guess, big ones, it sort of needed a bit of a refresh, because Pagan Men was okay, Voss was better, but they both had very personal motivations. And if you can take this big bravado and this charismatic leader and give him the motivation of some sort of supposed higher powers enlightenment, then I think that makes it all the more interesting.
Yeah. I really like Far Cry games.
Yeah.
I think
they're Ubisoft's most consistently good property.
Yeah, and regardless, just from the FPS genre itself, that's the one that I really, really enjoy. You know, Halo's fine. You know, Gears I like for certain reasons. You know, maybe just, you know, playing with my friends. And there's a lot of other FPS franchises that, you know, come and go, hit or miss. But the last three Far Cry, I didn't play Primal, but Far Cry 3 and 4, I really enjoyed those. Just that open world.
Yeah.
Just
they're
so
indelibly
pretty.
Single player. I can't say that, but they're indelibly story based, I guess. You know, because there's like Far Cry 4 had the element of co-op, right?
Yeah,
so it was still not competitive
type things. Yeah,
but I guess we'll say that.
I think for the most part, just the feeling of isolation in this big dangerous area, this dangerous jungle where, you know, enemies come in all shapes and sizes. You know, some of it's just nature, and some of it's just bad dudes.
Yeah, bad dudes.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. So I love taking it, bringing it to a familiar landscape like the United States.
Yeah,
of America.
Modern day.
And you know, little, you know, some cult twists. It's kind of fun, you know. Like, I like it to be dark, like it, you know, you saw in that the preview, the guy's getting, you know, his face is getting rammed into the church bell. I mean, that's not something I feel like you would have seen in previous Far Cry. It's a little darker.
Yeah, I think it's a little darker, but I like that.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's grittier and darker. I'm super excited for it. So
it's also basically, I feel like that moment was just sort of like the, I don't know, I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, but it's sort of like America sort of in a microcosm, just beating someone's face into a church bell. It's like, that's America.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Yeah, okay. I agree. I don't get the backlash. I mean, I expected it, but I roll my eyes at it.
Yeah. And here's the biggest disappointment to me about the whole thing is it's February. Like, I want that game now.
Yeah, it's a year away at least, right? Or it comes out
February.
That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah.
We said it's February. I just believed you and thought, like, it's February now, so we have like a year. But no, it's June now.
Yeah, it's June.
I'm very stupid. Speaking of being very stupid, I looked up the cast of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie that came out in 2005. He is not. He's not at all. He's not at all. So I don't know what I was thinking. Red Dead Redemption 2 is also the 2018 release
now. It's delayed, right? Yeah. Now, initially, when we got this news, it was right on the heels of the Far Cry 5 like announcement teaser thing.
And we suspected some getting out of the way by one or the other.
Right. We suspected maybe like... because Montana, it's going to have a somewhat of a Western vibe, we assume.
Well, Montana is in the West.
Yeah, it's in the West.
Can't get around it.
Obviously, modern day, not this going for the same vibe as a Red Dead, which is, you know, the classic Old West. But I had some thought. It was like, I wonder if Rockstar is like, we're not going to compete or we're not going to try to compete. Not that it would be necessarily because they're two entirely different experiences, but maybe just move out of the way, move to spring and let Far Cry release in the fall. Turns out, you know.
Next spring's going to be fun.
Is what Far Cry like. Is going to be, a late winter release. So that makes me wonder, you know, what that delay, I guess, is maybe actually for. I guess it probably is just let's make it better. I don't know.
Well, those two games coming out next spring, and then the spring we had this year, spring is like the new Christmas.
It's true.
The new good season for
games. Lots of good games.
The only big one I can think of coming this fall, and well, there's Destiny 2, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, Mario Odyssey. So there's still some big ones coming.
Right.
But
the new new Battlefront, the new Call of Duty.
Right.
Those will be heavy
hitters. Well, those mainstays for sure, yeah.
Assassin's Creed will be back.
But, you know, Rockstar says the purpose of this delay was to make sure we deliver the most extraordinary... Rockstar game, I guess, most extraordinary Red Dead Redemption game that we're capable of providing. So they don't really give any indication that it's, you know, for any other reason other than making it better.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't need the game right now. I can wait. Perfect it. I know you will. I don't need it.
Yep. And those screenshots they released, though, real pretty.
Real pretty.
Real pretty.
Real pretty.
Castlevania Netflix teaser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw this. Yeah. Not terribly long ago. First of all, I think that they hit the nail on the head, Netflix did with that teaser by, you know, shoving a NES card into a NES deck and turning it on and having those glorious 8-bit graphics and selecting the menus and then boom, you get hit with that sweet footage. More like dramatic voices with screens than actual a lot of moving footage, but I love the vibe. And I really feel like just even with that teaser, they know what they're going for. You know, they're going for that classic Castlevania. They're not going to try to do like a, you know, Lords of War thing or some of the some more recent releases. They're going for the OG Castlevania.
Yeah.
And made me happy.
I don't know if I'm just so washed up in this that I'm just impossible to disappoint at this point in time until
it
comes out. But that teaser, man, it just had everything for me. You know, the NES and like you said, just kind of the old VHS kind of feel to it. And cracking the whip and the blood and the voices looked good. The art looked good.
Mm.
The Dracula. I mean, it just all looked good, sounded good. And I am just stoked for this. So can't come soon enough. And it will only be, 2 months away? Maybe a month
July
away.
July 7th,
yeah. So it's not too long from now.
Not in the
we'll get to enjoy that. I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the next in a few episodes from now.
We should binge it and then review it on the show.
Yeah. Come in here with like, a couple bloodshot eyes and some Red Bull and just talk about it.
What else is new?
They'll probably release it like sequentially, though, right? They're not going to just drop.
No, they'll drop
20 episodes. At once.
They'll drop them.
You think they'll do it like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It's Mario
Netflix.
Plus and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
I don't know about this. That's a weird one. I think it's. I know Mario with somebody else has never really worked great. In my opinion, you got the Mario Racer Sonic thing and the Mario Sonic Olympics thing.
I think Sonic just tracks him down.
Maybe. It just always feels a little,
forced.
Know. It feels forced and feels like more like a really strong marketing opportunity than actually making a good game.
Yeah.
And Rabbids. Why, you know, Rabbids, you know. Why not something else?
I know. Rabbids are, I guess, fine in their own little
universe.
They're fun
for 4-year-olds.
Yeah, or, you know, just the silliness is there. It's not for me, though, but some of the stuff that leaked with this, like, they have a picture. It was like a marketing thing that leaked, and there was, like, pictures of all of the characters, and they're supposed to be, you know, I think there's Toad, Princess, Luigi, Mario, and then there's those versions of those characters as Rabbids. And there's, like, a picture of Peach holding, like, a gun, and the caption's like, "The Badass Princess." And it's like, what are you doing?
Feels a little pandering.
Yeah, it's like, did Nintendo know you're doing this? Like, and then there's, like, they have language on there, like, convince the media and gamers that the game is okay. It just feels desperate and weird, and I don't know. It just, out of the gate, just doesn't...
Yeah.
Doesn't sound fun to me. Doesn't sound very fun to me.
Same.
But so it'll get bought up, and people will love it, and, you know, undoubtedly, you know...
Maybe.
You mix something like the Minions almost with Mario, and I don't know. I think it'll do well, probably to our chagrin, but whatever. I'm never going to get mad at somebody making games for people. So,
Okay.
Unless it's that one, then it's bad.
Yeah.
So Life is Strange.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but I just had to ninja edit that.
Yeah, what did I accidentally put?
Stranger Things.
This happened during the the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you get this combined in your brains. Not that crossover wouldn't be amazing.
I know. That's what
I thought. Life is Stranger Things.
Yeah, when you sent the article to this, I was like, what? They're making what? A Stranger Things Life is Strange prequel? I don't know what I was thinking. I can't read, evidently. But tell us all about it. Life is Strange, a prequel.
So initially, you know, we heard, I guess, a couple of weeks ago that Don't Nod, the developers of Life is Strange, great game. If you missed it, it's going to be a PlayStation Plus game here in the month of June.
Polykill endorses that game.
Wholeheartedly do we endorse that game, don't you know? I don't know why I went that way, but I think it's one of the better episodic games that I've ever played, for sure. Great story, great mechanics. Mechanics, great acting, good voiceovers, moving story, tackles tough subjects, play it. Like I said, in North America, at least, maybe Europe too, it is a PlayStation Plus free game for PS4, so you're out of excuses if you own that service.
Yep.
Moving on, they announced that they are going to be making a sequel to that, a Life is Strange 2 as a working title. And then on the heels of that, there was this leak, if you will, as it were, that a prequel is being made by a different company, Deck 9. And they said they're going to be announcing a new entry into a critically acclaimed series from a global publisher, and it will be announced at E3 2017. And then along with this leaked some art, and it was very clearly Life is Strange characters and settings. Now, when I saw this initially, I was like, I don't know. I feel like this could just be concept art from the first one. You know,
it looked like it could have been.
Yeah. But, you know, fuel has been added to this fire from pretty much every news outlet. So I'm pretty sure it's a sure thing at this point that there will be a Life is Strange prequel announced very soon. And I'll play it. You know, I don't know if it'll be another episodic thing or if it'll just be like one episode or a couple or a whole slew of five. Who knows? But I do love the world and the character. So I'd definitely be up for going back to that.
Yeah, so we have a prequel that might be very soon, and a sequel that appears to be perhaps on the horizon in the next 2 years or so, depending on how long it takes. So lots of strange life out there to come to us.
Lots of strange life.
That's all good news. What happened last episode, though?
Let's check.
Previously on Polykill, is Zelda really coming to smartphones? How exciting is a Witcher Netflix series? Jake goes deep on all these topics, as well as pops his game-buying cherry by picking up a couple of recent Dragon Quest releases. Trav finally emerges victorious from Castlevania and Super Contra while enjoying the scandalousness of Geralt in The Witcher Wild Hunt. The fellas discuss their wish list and predictions for EA, Bethesda, and Microsoft as their hype builds for E3 2017 for the topic of discussion.
Games that we have completed or retired from our big old pile of nasty shame.
Nasty shame, girl.
I said I picked up Portal 2 in that back compat sale.
Yeah,
and I've been
trying
to play this with my buddy Josh
for ages. Co-op that shiz.
Co-op it. Now, I've beaten that single-player campaign years ago and loved it. Thinking about going back again now.
That's smart. Smart game.
So good. So good. two-player mode, not far behind. It's still good. I wish it were
sweet.
15 hours longer, though. I feel like as soon as you get all of the tools and you've kind of explored everything that there is with you know, it feels like a big, long introduction and then just stops.
Ah.
You know what I mean? I want 20 to 30 more levels using that bouncy goo and the fast goo and all the stuff. It'd be a lot of fun. But we knocked that out, and, I mean, who hasn't played Portal 2? I mean, you know, if you haven't, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Go do that.
You're just a dumb person.
You're either poor or dumb.
Yeah, and poor is an excuse. It's like $2 now, so.
That is true. It's $2. And you should play it.
Agreed. Awesome.
I also beat... so I picked up some games.
Yeah?
And none of them were very noteworthy, which is why I didn't cover them in the pickups.
But they were just part of the collection. Rounding out.
Yeah. And, you know, always put them in. Try them out. You know, I don't want to get like a lemon, you know?
Sure.
I don't want to get a clunker. So I try them all out. And I tried this one game out, and it took me 10 minutes to beat it. It's called Danny Sullivan's Indie Heat. But you have Danny Sullivan's In Heat. And, yeah, real short little racer game. It's actually really fun. It's just... Damn, it's too short. But
gotcha.
But yeah,
so is it like a Formula One
racer, or
you ever played Super Sprint?
No,
or anything like that. So it's a top down, or like RC Pro Am or anything
yes,
like that.
Yes.
So it's top down. So you just, you know, you're pushing left and right and guiding your little car through.
Fun.
And but there's pit stops and stuff and upgrades and maybe I'm just really good at it because I've played a lot of those games.
Sure.
But it was good. It was fun.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep. I almost wouldn't count it because it's so short.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes.
But
I feel like you shouldn't. But we will.
But
you got credit.
I needed something. Yeah, I got credit.
You get credit. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to beat two. So I guess I technically got a Paul kill.
That's right. This is your first one in years.
Years. So I got Uncharted Poo Among Thieves. That's such a great, great parody of the title. Because it makes sense, Uncharted Poo.
I know.
It's very good. Very creative.
We won't go in depth about why it makes sense. But
no.
It makes sense.
But you know. Uncharted 2, obviously. And I played the remasters, part of the Nathan Drake collection on PS4. I picked this collection up a couple of years ago on a Thanksgiving sale on the PlayStation Network. Got all three games remastered by Bluepoint. Amazing job porting those over to PS4. And they are fantastic games. This one of the better games you'll play, I think. Uncharted 2. It has a lot of detail, a lot of puzzles. It has a pretty lengthy campaign. I mean, this took me probably close to 13, 14 hours to get through.
Yeah.
Over a period of months and months. But I, when I got that new TV, I said, like, let's see what Uncharted looks like on it. So I put it in there, like, man, this is fun. I could probably beat this. Because years ago, when I had my PS3 before the Y-Lod, I managed to get pretty far into it. Then I was like, all right, I'll just go through this again because I never finished it. So a lot of the parts I was kind of familiar with and kind of knew my way around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then decided to just go ahead and finish it on up. And I did. And I'm glad I did.
Congrats.
It was fun. Yeah. It was fun.
So that's your first, like, this big win in a long time.
That's a big game to beat, too.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not like, you know, Danny's in Heat or whatever you beat.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But they also beat Portal 2.
Yeah, still.
Yeah,
I feel like that's like 6 hours, maybe.
Yeah, it's a longer, actually.
Yeah.
It's 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
If you're stupid, which we are. So
okay.
It worked out.
Yep. Nice. And I also beat Injustice 2.
Yeah, so we got that, what, like an hour ago, and you beat it already?
Yeah. So I got it Friday after work. After work, I got off.
And so you know it's 2 days ago.
Yeah. And yeah, we're recording this on Sunday. So, but the thing is, it doesn't matter that I beat it because I'm still going to play the ever-living hell out of it.
Right, but you got the credits.
But I got the credits. And there is... Without getting too spoilery, there's multiple ways you can kind of go in the campaign at times. And then there's a way to get a different ending if you make a different choice. So I'm going to go back through and play that.
Good.
And make some different choices along the way, too.
And you get to pick a number of different characters.
Lots of different characters here.
But the campaign, does it fit itself to each character?
It does. It's, you know... The story, I think, will be the same, but when you play through the level, sometimes you'll have a set of characters pair up, like you know, Dean Lance and Ollie, Green Arrow and Black Canary. They'll pair up together. And so, like, when you encounter somebody like Gorilla Grodd or somebody, you're able to pick which one of them you want him to fight.
Okay.
So you can kind of make different choices. You know, Blue Beetle, Firestorm. They dig deep in the DC catalog here and bring in a lot of cool characters that, you know, aren't necessarily the surface level. Pop, mass appeal characters. So beat that. And man, what a great story. I really, 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 really like the Injustice stories because it takes the, you know, they should have just done this for Batman versus Superman. That should have been the story of Injustice. Either one or two, because it's so good, so compelling, it makes a lot of sense. It's got cool shit constantly going on in the game. And yeah, I love this game. It was worth every penny I paid for it, and highly recommend that you pick it up if you're on the fence.
Cool. That's a pretty good endorsement there.
Yeah, boy.
You know what I'm going to stop saying is pretty good. I say that all the time.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. That's pretty good, Jake.
Don't stop it.
You know, you're done here. Okay, so yeah, what'd you add to? So you took those off the backlog. What did you pile back on real quick?
I threw Sexcom 2.
What's that now?
Sexcom 2.
Is that Sexcom 2?
Sexcom 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Sexcom 2, yeah.
And you want to go into detail? Have you played any of that? It's hard. It's hard for me.
I played the tutorial, and that's all I've done so far. But
I think I died in the tutorial. Like, it was tough.
Okay.
I'm lying, but no.
Okay.
I'm exaggerating, but I thought the game was much more difficult than the previous XCOM iterations I'd played.
Okay.
So, good luck.
Yeah.
I hope you do well.
I like it.
Good. So, it's very pretty, very stylish. I do like the enemies, but man, the game is just
they're unknown.
Stressful. Enemies are unknown or within. I added Kirby's Adventures on the NES, and the reason I did this was because I thought I could beat it before this episode, and I didn't.
Oh.
I'm on the last level, and then
I show up.
Then your pretty face showed up at the door and said, "I'm ready to go down to the studio and get to having some sale." No, to record a polycule. And I said, "Okay." So I didn't quite beat it, but you know, it's Kirby. You know,
it's Kirby.
Not a tough game, but I gotta tell you, there's some frustrating parts in it. I mean, maybe I'm just bad at games, but you know, had some bosses give me a little flack. So. But Kirby's fun.
Kirby's always fun.
Never avoid that game if you think it's too easy for you. It's still fun.
Yeah.
Above all else, it's fun.
Kirby games are great.
There's a reason Kirby has really persevered over time.
Yeah. Because he can eat everything.
Well, yeah. And then he can become anything. He can be multiple attacks. It's a very cool concept for even 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Another cool concept is Caltech. This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Also, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis. Oh, man. We should ask them for more money for shit.
We should.
It's just...
That's hard.
It hurts my own feelings, and I have to say it. It's torture.
All right, so it's time for...
Well, if you like what you're hearing so far, be sure to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. Jake tells me it's the best Facebook page on the internet.
So it's not.
Please come check it out if you'd like to see that. We're also on cartridgeclub.org. We have our own forum there. You can come by and chat and leave a little feedback if you want. That'd be the best. If you have a bad review, that'd be the good place to leave that. If you have a good review, go to iTunes, click a star, leave a paragraph, let us know what you think. You can also hit us up, polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
Some of you have. Thank you.
Please do.
Thank you so much for those.
Yes. Thank you so much. Also, that'd be the place to put your off-kilter stories if you have those.
Yeah.
And as always, subscribe on whatever service you use. That's big for us. And check out our Sad and Lonely YouTube channel. Mm. We might make more content one day.
Mm. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
So what does that bring us into?
That brings us into the long play.
Long. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a little Foreigner there.
You know, you do.
I know you do. So you're still banging there on the old Witcher Wild Hunt, aren't you?
yeah, banging on it. Yeah. Now I'll tell you, you remember
banging a lot.
Boy. No, you remember way back I probably said something like this. I don't know if I'll actually complete the game. I just want to dabble, you know, dabble.
You sounded exactly like that when you said that, too.
Because it's really long, and I don't know if I'll have time. You know how I am.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to dabble.
I just wanted to dabble, get in there, and get my feet wet. No, this is what happened, though. I got in there, and it sucked me in. I'm in there now. And I looked online. You know how you do. I said, where am I at in this main quest? You know, like, Am I far enough in to commit, or am I still?
So you're still having a second. You're still doubting Thomas this show.
I was on the fence. Not on the fence. I wasn't going to stop. I really just wanted to know what was left in store.
Gotcha.
You know, I wanted to get an idea. Turns out, the game is kind of segmented into three acts, and I'm on the third act.
What?
So I'm in there.
Yeah.
Let's beat it.
You're in
Let's
the business meet.
Now, I'm in no rush. I'm still doing side quests. I'm still tracking down shit. I'm still banging.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sweet broads. I'm still side boobing, still killing stuff. I'm in there. I'm good.
Yeah.
But, dude, it's what a game. What a game.
I am so glad you're into this because, like, I feel like this is like the opposite of what you normally play because it's like this big, lauded fanfare, you know. Epic RPG with
it
lots of grinding.
In the last five
it
years.
Came out in this decade. It's technically one of this generation's games. And
I haven't found much grinding, though. I don't find it a grind.
Well, it's true. There is grind. I mean, it happens, but it's not grindy. It's not like a Dragon Quest.
And I've heard a lot of people...
you do have to level up before you can access
it. Oh, yeah. Dragon Quest is awful for it. But and, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, like they started playing it and they respected the game. They're like, oh, it's a very... I can tell that it's a good game, but I don't know if it's for me or it doesn't do this or it does that and it's kind of weird. I say stick with it because at first it's everything about the game's intimidating. The world's intimidating. The characters are intimidating. The enemies are intimidating. The amount of weapons are intimidating. The number of cities are intimidating.
The lore.
Menu is intimidating. The number of potions you can make and how you can make them and everything you can pick up. It's all intimidating. And eventually you realize you don't really need most of it. You can survive
you
and enjoy the game with whatever little
segment.
Segment of it that you choose to go with and that you're familiar with. Run with that and make it your game. It can be, it'll be fun for you. So that's my advice is you get to that, you know, 10-hour mark. I mean, 10 hours in, you're probably still not sure. I'd say just power through a little more and see if it turns out. See how it turns out for you.
Nice.
What about you? What are you playing?
I am playing a couple of things, as always, but long play. I guess if you were to ask me this yesterday, I'd say Injustice 2, but not so anymore.
Right.
You know, that's going to bump down to the old side quest, even though I'll probably play it a little more than I do an average side quest, because I'm really into it right now, and I'm having fun with it, and I'm learning the combos and shit. I'm going to say that Dragon Quest Builders is going to be my long play, because that has that, give me... You know, did I explain this in the last episode a bit? I think I did. Right? There's a gameplay loop of...
Mm-hmm. You said there's a good loop, but I don't know, like, what's the end? How do you beat it?
The end game is to build and rebuild the world, and then build up your city, and then build up your gear, and then expand, and then just kind of, like, you're the only person in the land that has the power of creation, so everyone is, like, coming to you for stuff.
Do you get credits? Is it a game that...
Oh, yeah. There is a story.
Okay.
And then once you beat the story, then you unlock, like, the sandbox mode.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going for the credits.
Yeah, I'm going for credits. And, man, it's just so charming. It's just such a fun little game. You know, I think I made a tweet comparing it to the old Super Mario 64. And a lot of people liked the tweet, and some people was like, wow.
Just from that 3D charm, just that...
It's just, you know, it's like, you know... Okay, this is not a spoiler. The character that you play, the builder, you get to name him and all that stuff. But he's got a big wooden mallet, right? Like that's on the cover. You know, you eventually get one. So I'm not spoiling anything. But you have to talk to this certain character to figure out how to make one. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me so much of Super Mario 64. You know, you got these cute little enemies, and then you go talk to this big fat bird that can tell you how to make this hammer. And it's just adorable and charming and just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think it also has that color pop. Super. I mean, I feel like very few games on most N64 games were very murky and muddy, and the draw distance was very limited. Super Mario 64, right out of the gate, everything was very pretty, blue sky.
Vibrant
green, and this game has, I mean, just on the cover, you can tell that it's going to be. So I definitely see your parallels. I don't think they're too far-fetched.
No, I mean, I don't care if you do.
About 50 hours to beat that. So it's actually not as long as I thought it would be.
Yeah. It's. So, I mean, the main reason is because it's
still long.
It's still long, but it's a lot of, you know, hey, I need this built for me, and then you got to like, well, I got to figure out how to make this thing so I can use that to make this thing, so that I can then build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all fun. It's not like a grind because you can just go out in the world, knock down trees, and kill little slimes, and you know.
So how would
fun.
You? I know they're completely different. Mm-hmm. They're completely different. But the gameplay loop, the fun that you have with Stardew Valley and Dragon Quest Builders, are they different flavors of the same crack?
I would say that they're both candy. But they are not the same candy. You get the same joy out of building and like spending, because there's a day-night cycle, right? And so like there's days. You get up and you're like, you can stay up all night. That's fine. Monsters come out at night, so you got to make sure that your little town is fortified and they can't get in. You get the same sort of satisfaction of creating and finding that you do in Stardew Valley.
Cool.
I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little less choresome than Stardew Valley is because, you know, in Stardew Valley, it's like I gotta get up at 6, I'm going to go water my plants, and then I got to harvest what's there and then go sell it so I can invest in, you know, crops for the next season.
But you didn't feel that was a chore. That was
part of the loop.
That was part of the loop was that you like those responsibilities.
I like the, yeah.
It's interesting, man. Games can make you do things.
It's fun.
Make you do things.
It's fun.
Games on the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
You got three here.
If you're not familiar with the Cartridge Club, you should be, first and foremost. Right. Head on over to thecartridgeclub.org. Check it out. There's
short for organism.
The only way you join is just to pay attention. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
But the game this month, this is a new month, this is the beginning of June, is Final Fantasy 2/4. It's 4 on everything but Super Nintendo, if you're ever confused. I've been playing that for the last month or so. I wanted to get a head start because, you know, got a lot of games going on. It takes me a while to beat games. I got to beat it before the end of the month, though.
Right.
I want to be in with the club on this one.
Right.
This is the one. And, man, I'm pretty far in, I got to say. I think I'm maybe at this point a little over two-thirds of the way through.
Oh, shit.
There's no...
Tally-ho.
Yeah. Lally-ho. There's no... I haven't reached that point of no return. I always hit with RPGs.
Mm.
And so I think the game is definitely one of the easier, more streamlined versions. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, and I hope I'm not wrong, but I feel that way because I feel like I'm having a lot of success with it.
Cool.
So, and that's why I'm enjoying it. You know, if it were any more complicated, I'd be intimidated by it and or whatever. This has just been a nice experience.
Gotcha.
So, I'm cool with it. I like it. Good. Ikaruga. Been playing it. Now, I can't get more than, maybe 4.5 minutes into it, but goddamn, what a mind bender that game is.
Yeah.
You know, if I could get any further, like, let's say I got 8 minutes in just one time.
You'd call it a win.
Well, I would be so ecstatic that, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, when I died, I'd be like, son of a bitch! Like, I've made it so far. It would have been just unimaginable. I'm hitting my 4-minute ceiling each time. It's still fun, though.
Hmm.
You know? And if you don't, the game's a shooter.
Right.
And you switch back and forth between being dark or white. And there's dark or white things being shot at you. And
you have to counter those by being.
If you're white, you can't get hit by the dark shit. You can get hit by the light shit, and vice versa. And boy, it will, man, it does something to your mind after a while. And I enjoy it.
That's neat.
I like the twist. There's no way I'm going to ever beat it. I know that. But I still have, like, if I'm waiting for people to get online, I'll take a few rounds of Ikaruga to town. You know what I mean?
Nice.
I'm going to throw another one in here because I forgot to write it in.
Oh, shit.
So just so you know, I have 4 total. Okay. And I completely forgot to mention this so far. I didn't put it in my episode at all. That's my fault. That is my fault. Friday the 13th.
Oh, my fucking God.
I know. I forgot to bring it up. But no, this was a Kickstarter that I put $30 into, and they gave me the game, right?
Right.
So I've got it. Now, it's had a bit of a rough launch there on specifically the Xbox One. But I was, you know, I only played it one night, okay? Mm. I got in there with a buddy who had spent some time with it. We got into some private matches. There's no issues in private matches, so if you have a bunch of friends that have it, you'll be gold. They've also released a lot of patches and updates since
game
release, so I think it's getting better and better
all the
time. I can only speak for Xbox. I don't know about the other platforms. But I've been playing it. Dude, it's fun. It is fun. Now, it looks like it's from maybe the 360 era. It doesn't have, you know, extremely detailed graphics or anything like that. But the main thing here is fun, and it has that.
Sure.
And
that's what we're looking for.
You know, and I played with just me and 2 other guys, which I know is not ideal. You want a full map, but that was a good way to learn.
Yeah.
And the amount of things you can do and everything, you know, we talked about balance, how that game was going to be tricky to balance. I think it's some of the ways they've done it are really fun. So
nice.
I'm excited to play it more. And that's that. I'll talk about it more when I play it more. And then lastly, boy, I'm on a, I'm just fucking running with this. Panzer Dragoon. Remember last time I said I picked this up, I'm going to add it.
Panzer Crab Dragoon.
You tried, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
I got as far as I've ever gotten the first night I played it. Okay.
Okay.
Got to, I think there's 6 total levels.
Okay.
Made it to the 5th one. Game's beatable. You know, whatever.
It's fun,
I can't get past the 5th. I can't do it. If anybody out there has beaten this game, tell me. Give me a tip. How do you get past that 5th boss? I found a level skip code just to go to level 5 to see if I could just get familiar with this dude, because it takes so long to get to him. Still just whipping my ass. So
ass whipping.
I might not beat it. This, you know, if I don't beat it in the next week, I might just take it off and say, hey, I played a lot of this game and enjoyed it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's beatable for me or not, though.
Damn.
You think an on-rail shooter, you think it sounds beatable, but it's a whooping.
Shit.
Me. Yeah. That's where I'm at. So, I want to pass the torch to you.
Torch is passed. Now, on the side, I've been playing a little bit of that Fire Emblem Echo, Shadows of Valentia, on the 3DS. Now, interestingly enough, P1, Sean, of Cartridge Bros and Cartridge Club fame, mm-hmm. has picked up the game roughly around the same time that I did, I think within a day. So we started sort of playing it, not necessarily in parallel, but, you know, we're both playing at the same time and chatting back and forth about what we like, what we don't like, what we learn, you know, et cetera. Kind of like our own little private club.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably shouldn't have put that out there, but we started our own little club. It's a Fire Emblem club.
Wow.
And you're not part of it, so
oh.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm having a blast with this because it does, like I said, you know, before in pretty much every Fire Emblem game that's been released in the last few years anyway, there's always this sort of rock, paper, scissors setup of what beats what. And I don't remember what those are, so I'm not going to say them. But it's like, you know, lance beats sword, sword beats axe, axe beats lance or something like that.
You just said you weren't going to say that.
I know, but I could be wrong about that. That's what I'm saying. I prefaced it with that. And you always kind of had to be mindful of that. This sort of does away with that. You get other kind of bonuses. You get a third person dungeon crawling experience from time to time, which is very much like a Persona game for me. In Persona games, you're running through the halls and you see a thing that's a bad guy. If you both engage at the same time, you kind of have a fair playing field. If they engage first, they get the advantage in the first turn. If you engage first and surprise attack them, you get the advantage in the first attack. Same thing happens in this Fire Emblem game. So that's pretty cool. You can find loot and food and whatnot. And it's, you know, a fun little grindy experience that you can go through to help level up your characters. But the music is great. Graphics are great. It's Fire Emblem. I love it. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. I'm about 5 hours in into it right now.
It's a big one though, right? They're all big.
Lots of pirates. I think it's maybe 25, 30 hours.
Oh,
it's not huge.
Yeah. That's chewable.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I played it on some road trips that I was on. So always fun to chew down on, or, you know, wind down, going to bed with it, that sort of thing.
Didn't you play another Dragon's Quest on a road trip recently?
I didn't. I played Dragon's Quest, not Fire Emblem, but yeah.
Yeah. You gonna mention that or not?
Yeah. I mean, I played that too. I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah.
I picked it up last time, and I think I told you about it, right?
Yeah,
I mentioned
7,
it about
right?
it. Yeah, Dragon Quest 7. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've gotten into it a little bit, but you haven't even started combat. Like the
Still haven't gotten to combat. Yeah. I'm like 3 hours in and still just, you know, running around talking to people.
Is it bad or good? What do you think about
it? It's fine. It's building the world. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else you got?
Overwatch Season 5. I'm not gonna beat a dead horse. Hey, quit hating on the Overwatch.
Is Overwatch over yet? Are you done talking about?
You shut your goddamn mouth. Shut it.
So Season 5.
Shut it. Yeah, Season 5. Competitive Season 5 kicked off, so qualified in. Been playing that.
Cool, man.
Yeah, got the anniversary event going on. Getting
you in the club?
Yeah.
The club playing?
Yeah, played a little bit with Sean P.D.D. Combs yesterday, as well as...
Sean P.D.D. Combs.
Musty.
Cart Daddy.
Fitnat. Yeah, Cart Daddy.
Yeah. We'll try. We'll work on it.
Yeah. We'll get there. But yeah, but played some more of that. And, you know, I love Overwatch. And like yesterday we were playing, and it's just the agony of defeat and the catharsis of victory are so palpable in Overwatch, because, you know, you'll go take a point, try to take a point. They'll get the last, you know, they'll push in the last 20 seconds and overcome you. And then you just keep holding them off. And if you win, it's awesome. If you lose, it feels awful. Or if you just go in and dominate and hold the point and win the game, it just feels great. There's some elation to it that's just, you know, hard to get in other games for me.
Now, I won't move on from Overwatch just yet.
Okay.
I'll ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
Because I know you enjoy it. You wear an Overwatch shirt. You know, you're more than just a casual. Everything.
Yeah.
You got an app and everything.
I have an Overwatch wallet, an Overwatch decal on my Jeep.
Two quick little comments.
Sure. Sure.
Is literally every match as tense and as down to the wire as I feel like you make it seem?
Not every match, but almost every match the matchmaking system is really good in the fact that it's rare that there's a blowout, at least in competitive.
Okay. And I'm not speaking for me. I have a lot of games going on. But for anyone out there who's heard you and Sean and everybody talk about Overwatch and heard all of the Overwatch hype and so forth, and it's very persistent. It's Blizzard. It's very big. It's still out there, even over a year old. Season 5 is coming out. People hear Season 5. I hear Season 5 about something. I'm like, oh, I'm too late. Now, yeah. if you just bought the game, is Season 5, I mean, can you still get in there and have fun and be good?
Yeah. Basically what it is there, it's the competitive mode of the game where you earn rank. Like there's quick play where it's just you hop in, you play the game. There's arcade mode, which is like sort of fun modes like capture the flag, 3v3, 1v1, etc. Then there's competitive mode, which is a full 6-on-6 match where you earn ranking and there are penalties for quitting and leaving matches. And so it's a little more structured. The game modes are slightly different, but similar. So it's basically there since they started this competitive play with Overwatch, they run 3 month cycles of competitive seasons. Once the season's over, you wait a few days, you start the next season. So like, it's not like a story thing. It's not like you'll be left behind if you haven't played the other seasons. It's just, we're given a break. We're coming back to it. And
is that just to give, literally give everyone a chance, no matter when they jump in, a chance to be on top?
Because everybody has to re-qualify in. Mm-hmm. Like you have to go through 10 qualifying matches and that sets your initial rank. And it's based on a number. And then along with that number, you were given like a metallic alignment. So like if you qualify in with like between 1,000 and 1,500 or 1,499, you're a bronze rank. If you qualify in over 1,500, you're silver, etc. And you can go all the way up to like platinum and then diamond and then, you know, grandmaster. So, yeah.
Okay.
You can get pretty damn high.
Nice.
I haven't, but it's fun.
Sounds good. Sounds like there's a pretty low bar of entry, so to speak, for those who might still want to jump in and give it a try.
Yeah, always. And you can always have fun with that game no matter how good you're at it. Good you are at it. You'll want to get better, but you can still have fun if you're not good at it.
Cool. All right. So death metal transition for the discussion. The discussion.
I don't know what you're doing.
Close?
With
was that good?
That was good. Yeah.
It hurt. How do you do it?
I don't know. I don't do it. I just listen to other people do it.
Oh, cool. Well, it's the time for the discussion. E3 wish list and predictions. Volume 2, baby. Let's get hyped. Let's get fucking. Let's adjust our posture. Let's get into it. Let's
crack the
get
neck.
Hyped.
Crack the knuckles.
Crack the crack. Ubisoft, baby.
Ubisoft.
Routinely, year after year, among the most awkward conferences of E3, but
one would say unwatchable.
Well, you would say that, but I think, and I'm in the minority sometimes about this, it depends on who you ask.
Okay.
I think Aisha Tyler does that conference wonders. A lot of people don't like her. I find her way more appealing than a bunch of like awkward French guys talking about the game they made.
By the way, that's what's going back to this year. Aisha Taylor is not.
She's not there.
In. Yes. She is not in.
Well, that makes me sad.
I'm so sorry to bust your bubble. But
that makes me sad.
She ain't in. Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of boring French guys talking about the games they made now.
But and that always happened, but she always had this way of kind of smoothing it over or making some snarky transition about right. How awkward it was and moving right into the next thing and just embracing how, you know, just crazy everything is at E3.
Apparently, we have to do that now. We have to embrace the crazy and facilitate that for ourselves because she's not there.
I never understood why she got so much shit. Like, she totally has better things to do, but she always did it.
Yep.
And, God damn it. Okay, whatever. So, anyway, so it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a fucking mess. So, memorable last year, number one, Aisha Tyler being, you know, herself, which is just fun and bubbly and just always having a good time, always smiling and smoothing over everything that was awkward. And then Watch Dogs 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that
stands
that,
out.
Yep,
they peddled the Ass Creed movie a little bit.
They did, and it was ass.
Yes,
like
I don't know,
Creed,
and little Ghost Con Wildlands little thing there, a little very pretty.
Yeah,
little,
yeah, it looks,
you know,
cool. It looks cool.
And blood on the table and some blades and
might,
knives.
Might be a fun thing to pick up at some point. You know,
yeah,
it looks cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people playing it and liking it right now as we speak.
They're good with that tactical shit, man. Ubisoft knows how to do that. You know, Rainbow Six Siege, the Splinter Cell series, and Ghost Recon series.
Yeah, they're good at stuff. Yeah. Just not
Division.
Telling me about it.
Yeah,
more or less.
Correct.
So that was last year. Of course, Watch Dogs. God, are you done over there, Neil Peart, with your drumming? Watch Dogs 2 last year, supposedly a really big upgrade to the first Watch Dogs. I didn't play it, but you know, even the previews look really
good.
Look good.
They look more personality, more color, better protagonist, and more hackable goodies.
More hackable goodies. So this year,
mm-hmm.
I'm wishing for. I'm not really expecting a lot from Ubisoft to appeal to me.
Sure.
So
and we honestly we have what I wanted already. which is the Far Cry 5 thing.
Yeah, yeah, and that's essentially where I'm going with this. But I want to see them put, I like it when they, you know, even Trials Fusion or Trials got a Blood Dragon.
Right, got Blood Dragoned.
Yeah, it didn't do well, but I love that they had the ambition to throw Blood Dragon at something else.
Yes.
I was thinking of Blood Dragon Just Dance. Now, I'm not going to buy it, but no. I want to see that concept.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, what is that?
Have Power Glove do the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, or Gunship or whoever. It doesn't matter. Just make somebody do it, and that's retro themed, and Blood Dragon it up.
Like
Just
it.
Dance Blood Dragon.
Just Dance Blood Dragon.
What comes to your mind when you think Blood? Just Dance Blood Dragon.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of neon, a lot of chrome,
a lot of chrome.
Maybe some pink suits, maybe some crushed velvet jackets.
That's all I need.
White hats.
Quit talking. You're going to make me go see a doctor.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So you have a wish.
Yeah.
And that is?
An Assassin's Creed that's actually new gen or next gen.
Does that mean this gen?
That means this gen. Okay. And what I mean by that is I feel like, you know, if you played Assassin's Creed 4, which I think was the bridge between the previous and the current gen.
It sure was.
You know, obviously it was still very much limited in terms of development because they had to get some amount of parity across the generations. The next one, the follow-up, which is Unity, which was a total disaster. At launch, I don't know about the game if it was any good or not, but it was kind of eh. And then Syndicate kind of came and went with a whimper. No one really knew what it was. No one really cared.
No one can really remember it.
But they're all rehashed. You know, it's all been do the same things just in a slightly different way. And what I want from the new Assassin's Creed, because we're definitely getting one, is just a new way to play the game. You know, where it's not just scale the building, stand on top. Now you can see all the treasure chests and go kick them open for some fucking reason. You kick them open and avoid the guards on the roofs because, you know, everywhere had, you know, guards on the roofs.
Yeah, I don't get
that. So like I want something, a fresh take on it. And, you know, the rumors are that it's in Egypt. We already have a potential protagonist name, which escapes me. There's already been like the leaked t-shirt thing at GameStop where it showed the protagonist holding a shield and a bow, which seems kind of stupid. But who knows? We'll see. I'm hopeful that it will be something new and fresh. They took a year off in game development time. That's not a long time. That's maybe a quarter of a time to develop a game like this, but we'll see.
Now, what do you mean when you say that's actually next gen? What would that entail?
Next gen graphics, maybe a better, more robust online side of things, because they tried that a couple of different times. They tried that with Unity and it didn't work at all. Like the whole, you know, co-op assassination thing. You know, something that is not, you know, just doesn't behave poorly like the climbing mechanics in Assassin's Creed games where that's just never worked great. You know, when you're just running along the street and all of a sudden you're on top of a building or you're hanging or you're trying not to fall off and then you're just falling off. Like, it's never been perfect and I would like for that to be...
Clean it up. Okay.
You know, just scrap the old shit and try something new.
Well, that leads into one of my predictions, which is, of course, that we will see lots of Ask Creed Egypt. So I won't harp on that anymore. I do believe we'll see a little bit more about Far Cry Montana.
I think we'll get gameplay.
Definitely get some gameplay.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more about that game.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll probably see more than we want to of Rabbids / Mario.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna take up an annoying amount of time, I think.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Because Nintendo probably
Because it's
won't
Nintendo.
Talk
that's
about
like
it.
They're gonna be like, hey, we got Nintendo too. We're cool.
Yeah.
Coming to Switch.
So you want to just move on to Nintendo then?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's just do that.
Memorable last year, of course.
Breath of the Wind, as we thought it was called.
Yeah, we thought it was Zelda Fart, but it's Breath of the Wild, so it's still Fart.
It's still Fart.
Nintendo hanging out in the treehouse. They let everybody in last year, let everybody dabble with the, I guess it was at the time, the Wii U version of Breath of the Wild. No one really knew what a Switch was then still.
Correct.
And we got a little bit. Did we get a little bit about the Switch last year?
We got nothing.
We didn't?
Nope.
We didn't get anything.
I'm pretty sure they were just like, we'll talk about that later. We have nothing else to
you're
say
right,
at this
you're
time.
Right. It was still in the NX then, of course. So, yeah. So, Nintendo, you know, being a little weird. Mm-hmm. I think they talked about some smaller mobile game or smaller, some of their handheld stuff maybe a little bit. Stuff that didn't really appeal to me. So, moving on to this year wish list. You're probably right there with me, I would assume. I maybe just wrote it first, but I'd like to see another strong entry into the Metroid series.
I agree. I think this is one that has it's lapsed a bit, and they need to get back to it because it is one of their stronger entries. I think it's one of their more mass appeal entries. I think there is a fan base that just is crying out for this.
Yeah, and even if, say, their retro studio works on it and makes it something akin to Super Metroid, you know?
Yeah, like a side scroll, like a 2.5D side.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Totally pull it off. I want to see it. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'd also be cool with like another, you know, Prime thing too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
Just with better controls.
I don't think we're alone in that. I think there's a large legion of Nintendo fans that say that's next. You know, you hooked us up with Zelda. That was great. You know, Mario looks like it's coming. Looks great. But
right. You know, we need that big flagship entry.
Yeah. We're at Samus.
Yeah. Go to Samus.
We're at Samus.
Yep.
What about you?
I want... You know, because the Switch announcement thing that was like half press conference, half shareholders meeting that they did back in January, I think, when the Switch was officially announced, they hinted at a couple of things. One, that a full-fledged Fire Emblem title was coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Now, does full-fledged mean not one of these portable entries like you own?
Well, what I mean is, I think, you know, what we own... on 3DS is Fire Emblem has sort of become the mainstay, right? You know, you've got your Fire Emblem Fates, your Fire Emblem Echoes, your Fire Emblem Waking. It's very much a mobile thing. You got Fire Emblem Heroes on your phones. It's very mobile. And, you know, there are limitations to that, you know, in terms of graphics and just, you know, overall size, even though the games are great and I love them. I think having a full home console release, which will still be portable because it'll be Switch. Mm. But I think having something on some really beefy hardware would be awesome. You know, to see some, you know, these sweet animated scenes and these cutscenes and the transitions on a big screen would be just a lot of fun.
Does Fire Emblem lend itself to online multiplayer at all?
No.
No. Do you think that's something they would try to fish hook in there?
Hope not. Yeah. I mean, maybe like online challenges. Like, how fast can you clear this battlefield? Or, you know, there are some ranking things where it's like you can get a certain rank if you clear a battlefield in so many moves. Maybe something like that, like a leaderboard. But I really hope they don't try to shoehorn some kind of multiplayer aspect in there.
If they do, hopefully it's some optional thing that you don't have to, doesn't interfere with your what you want from the game.
Exactly. And the other is a proper Shin Megami Tensei entry, which they teased at the Switch announcement.
Is Atlas one of their listed partners?
Yes.
There you go.
So yeah. Maybe. So hopefully that will be good because, you know, once again, this has lived on handheld for a very long time, mostly on 3DS and PSP, somewhat Vita. But, you know, it's just been a long time since there's been a big home console release on those, and I would love to see, you know, that shit on my big TV.
Do you think off the very close heels of Persona 5, and I know they're different games, but do you think a Shin Megami Tensei would release so close? Do you think we're a year away from something like
that? I think we're at least 2 years away from,
maybe
from
a Shin Megami.
But show something.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like. Because... You know, Persona team is actually its whole development team. Like, they don't work on anything but Personas, which is weird because the last Persona the release was 10 years ago before Persona 5. So they've been
drawing a lot of dicks, though, man. It takes years.
So I think the chances of it releasing soon, I don't think it would hurt the Persona series because they're entirely different experiences.
Right.
But at the same time, you gotta wonder how much Atlas wants to, you know, do that.
Makes sense. It seems like it may be two different audiences, too. Is Shin Megami Tensei still a mature game?
Very mature. Far more mature than Persona.
Really?
And so, far more hardcore than Persona.
Do you think that's something that would come to the Switch?
Yeah, I mean, they already said it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
okay, well,
said
good.
It is.
Good.
Yeah.
I must have missed that. Well, that's great.
Yeah. It was announced at the Switch announcement back in January.
Oh, that's right. I remember you getting excited now. Yeah. Very good.
Because it's like, imagine taking Pokemon, replacing all the cute monsters with...
Naked chicks.
Well, no, just... really hardcore ugly demons and you have to negotiate with demons and like sell souls and dungeons are really hard and combat's really difficult and the stories are less whimsical. There's no social aspect to it. It's all just there's a giant demon that's trying to kill us all, so we gotta fight back.
That sounds fun.
Oh, it's great.
Cool. Well, maybe they'll talk about that in between all the Mario they're going to show.
Yeah, Mario Odyssey, where he's in the real world.
Now, they're getting a lot... let me start that sentence over. They had a lot of success last year by just doing Zelda.
True.
And they were in a can't, you know, backs against the wall situation. Then they had to... They made a great game, and that's all they gave you. And by God, it worked.
It
you know?
Did, but do you think it was because it was... They focused on it, or do you think it's just because it's finally a big fucking Zelda game?
And it's good. They backed it up with a good game.
Sure, arguably one of the best of all time.
Yeah, so I'm not saying Mario Odyssey will rival Zelda in any way, but I think they saw the success of, you know, push all the chips to the end of the table.
Sure.
and see what happens. But I think they're absolutely going to show different games because they have the Switch now. I mean, they have to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to
say, hey, we're supporting this.
You know, if last year was 98% Zelda Breath of the Wild, this year might be 70% Mario, and it might, you know, Mario's still a big deal for them, but
yes.
I think they're going to talk about it a lot, and they've already said that will be their focus, so be ready for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year, they did drop that nugget for this Mario. I mean, that was part of that 5% that wasn't Zelda was Mario. So I'm looking for this E3, you know, maybe they give us that little Metroid nugget.
I'd love that.
And they give us that whole year to wonder.
Mm.
And that would be fine.
I would like that. Yep. That'd be fine. Yep. But, you know, my prediction is that it is just going to be all Mario.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
It's still a safe bet.
Yeah.
It's not a bad bet. Let's move on to Sony, baby. I am ready.
Sony,
you know,
girl.
I'm ready. You know I'm ready for this because...
Because you've been on the mushy cusp of buying a PS4 for like a month now?
Yeah, like a whole month, like a whole 31 days.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, though, because I got my Xbox and I'm starting to lose a little love with the Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, things, it's not going great. Now, you know, Scorpio, blah, 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 but I need games.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's not been a whole lot. Nintendo, not a lot of games on the Switch yet, you know? I need like five games to get me motivated to buy a console.
Sure.
There's
far more than that on the PS4.
Right. Yes.
All worth your time.
Yes. So that's why I'm going to wait this E3,
mm-hmm.
and see what everybody's promising me, and then, you know, kind of court myself, you know, put my peacock feathers out and see if anybody wants it. And then maybe make a move on a used, very cheap PS4. Now, before we get to anything about what games I'd be looking forward to, what was memorable to you last year?
Last year... What was memorable?
I'll tell you what comes to me first. If I close my eyes and you said PS4, E3, 27, or 2016, I would say Detroit.
Yeah, you would.
That stuck out to me huge.
It's very interesting because it's very strong story-based. It doesn't look like it's mechanic-based. It's Quantic Dream, who has somewhat of a hit or miss. I mean, they've made some classics like the old
Heavy Rain,
Indigo Prophecy.
Beyond
Two Souls is kind of, I think, was like, meh. But I think that they have an interesting way of telling stories. And I think there has been an interesting shift in the games world toward, seeing that strong story basis.
But they're also just very... I feel like they're very creative.
They're very creative and very technical.
They like to break the mold a little bit with everything they do.
Oh,
and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. And this game looked like that. It looked like it was kind of going to turn the decision-based game trend on its head. And that was going to be... That's exciting to me.
Yeah. Cool.
So that comes to mind. It's actually Detroit... what's the little tagline? Become Human, I think is the...
Sure.
I think that's what it's called. So sure. I don't know...
Detroit, not RoboCop.
Right.
That was the tagline.
I don't know if they announced when it might come. They haven't.
They won't.
Last year, also memorable, Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
You know, when you look at this list, can you believe all these came in one press conference last year?
It's crazy.
It was
just a hell of a press conference.
We're only on the second one here. So, yeah. Resident Evil 7, and the beautiful thing about that was we saw that trailer or that teaser for a full... maybe minute and 45 seconds. You look at the first two games, you know, and if there were never Resident Evil's, you know, 3 through 6, your first thought would have been that's Resident Evil. But because, you know,
it went off the rails so far,
no one thought that this beautiful, scary, horrific,
intimate,
game could be
small story
could be a Resident Evil game until they plopped it up on the screen, and then I'm amazed, and I still want to play that game. I feel like it's lived up to what it was supposed to be.
So. Oh, yeah.
God
of War looked great. I still think that game is at least another year or two off, because I follow Sony Santa Monica on social media, and they're constantly calling out for, you know, we need artists, we need technical people, and I'm like, you're not done with this game. I doubt we'll hear anything about it this time, but I was stoked to see it, because Kratos has never been a great character, in my opinion. I think he's been a fun conduit to release lots of bloody violence on things, but he's never been a great character.
He's not very deep.
Very,
just,
you know,
kind of angry.
Motivation's very simple. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of depth there. Just mad. But now it kind of looks like they're going to take him and not humanize him, but characterize him a little bit more. And, you know, in that trailer, he was like, I'm a dad. I got to take care of my son.
Yeah, so you're going to see a softer side of the man.
I like that.
I also heard that the game is supposed to play through as one continuous cut. Have you heard this?
Oh, I have not.
Now, I don't know if that's true or even possible.
That's possible.
It's weird, though, because it depends on whether or not the trailer that we saw last year was a cutscene or... I mean, we did see some... I think we saw
a little bit. Gameplay. Yeah,
so I'd have to rewatch it to maybe get a gist.
The transition was quick.
But there were no cuts, I don't think. I think everything was just the camera moving around. And if the whole game, you know... Let's say it's 8 to 10 hours, because it seems like it's pretty ambitious graphically, and there's a lot to it. Let's say it's 8 to 10 hours, that's fine. That's crazy.
I would love that.
That'd be cool.
Like, if that is true, I will just set aside a day to play through it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would do that.
Wow, okay, cool.
In the beat of an eye...
Yeah, maybe we could Twitch stream
it. Nope. Spoilers, I don't want to stream it.
Oh, that's right. Well, fair enough. Days Gone?
Days Gone. I'm excited about this. I love the look of this game. I was really jazzed about this. Like, zombie horde and nighttime, and you got a biker dude who's played by Sam Witwer, who's a guy I've really liked. He was the face of the Jedi... Not Jedi Outcast. What the fuck is it? Those last two Star Wars third-person games... Fuck, I can't remember the name of him. You know what I'm talking about. You have to know what I'm talking about. I was gesturing at the camera, not Travis, by the way, because he clearly doesn't. Force Unleashed. He was the guy. He was the guy. Great actor, and loves video games. Always tries to find a way to work in video games, so that makes me like it.
I ain't trying to be a boohoo or nothing, but on this list especially, this game wowed me the least because I felt like I'm just, maybe I'm a little just past zombies now. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've gotten that mode, that feeling from a lot of different games. Now, if this game comes out and does it and just kills it and is like the best game to ever do this zombie thing that everybody wants, I'm in. But I was like, another one of these.
No, I'm jazzed about this.
Kind of like that. That's kind of how
I like the very rural settings that I saw.
Well, it seemed
that's
to me like
new.
What I wanted from DayZ, which never happened.
Right.
And to be calling it Days Gone felt like, so this... Like, it didn't feel like their idea. It felt like oh, we'll just make this because evidently they're not going to.
I mean, you could make that argument, even though DayZ is a completely different experience.
And I'm not even making it... I mean, it's not an argument. It's just, like, I kind of got that feeling from it. I was like, oh, this is... Okay, this feels like a recycled idea that they, you know, maybe a little more a little bit more polish, but it's definitely not one that...
It's from one of Sony's best internal studios, Sony Bend.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be great, but just from the onset, the concept and everything, I was just kind of like, okay, what else have we got?
See, I wasn't going to say anything, but that's how it was with Detroit. I was like, eh.
Really? That's fine. You can say it. It's interesting. It's interesting what makes us tick.
Yeah. I just like motorcycles and dudes in leather jackets killing zombies, man. I don't know why that doesn't get you rock hard.
I like, you know, cerebral bots and decision-making and saving little girls from murderous... entities. That's what I'm into. So Horizon Zero Dawn, though, another one that I wasn't too amped about, but ended up releasing to great affair.
Great acclaim.
It I mean, obviously I haven't played it, but it eclipsed what I thought it would achieve.
I mean, it's still, you know, near the top of everybody's game of the year list. I mean, I think it doesn't have a chance, you know, releasing in the same year as Breath of the Wild. I think every other game is pretty much damned, which may have been why Rockstar is like, hey, let's bump Red Dead 2. We don't want to, you know, miss those Game of the Year awards. But I think that Horizon Zero Dawn, on what I've played so far, it's in the running. It's definitely the best action game or action adventure game that I've played in a very long time.
Yeah, it has a lot going for it. It looks really, really cool. Definitely, if I get a PS4, that's on top of the list because it's probably one of the best games out for the PS4 that is exclusive, right? Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, it's the best PS4 exclusive.
It's the PS4 exclusive. Okay. And then Death Stranding. I think that was that they showed that at Sony, but I don't know. I don't think that's an exclusive, right? Or is it?
No, it's an exclusive.
It is an exclusive.
Yeah, because they're partnering with Kojima-san. Andy House made a specific video to say, hey, we're partnering with a legendary game developer, and they panned out, and it's Kojima sitting there. He's like, Kojima-san.
I forgot all about that. Yeah. Cool. Well, that game, I mean, look, I don't even know what about it is a game yet.
I don't either.
It looks like some concepts. It looks neat.
I don't think that is a PS4 game. I think that's a PS5 game.
Really?
I don't think that's coming out this generation.
You know,
it's Kojima. He's going to take forever to make this. That's why he no longer works at Konami, for good or for bad. That's why he doesn't. He takes forever and spends a lot of money.
Yep. He's very ambitious, very smart dude. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I won't even go against what you said there. I think that's a fair fair prediction. Yeah. Even if it's even if it aims to come out at the PS4, I think it'll get pushed back to a point.
Yeah.
But it does look neato.
Oh, it do.
I like the way it made me feel. Mm. Again, I don't know what about it is a game yet.
Same.
So, well, man, what a last year Sony had. My goodness.
So good.
So fun.
All
so
show,
good.
No tell. That's what I loved about that conference.
And
all
even though,
no
you know, you and I both, you know, we had games in here that we decided weren't for us from the onset.
Right.
They were still, all of those were new IPs.
New.
And they all looked fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, they just...
And unexpected, you know, just like dropping that God of War shit on us, dropping that Resident Evil stuff, even though they were existing. We're like, I didn't know I was getting this too. You know, it was like, it's Christmas.
Yeah, it was.
I'm hoping that happens again this year.
Certainly
so
Christmas.
Hopeful.
Certainly yeah. Christmas. Now, wish list for this E3 every year.
Mm.
Now, Level 5, and that might not be. I don't think they exclusively hang out with Sony. They do a little Nintendo stuff.
Yep.
Dark Cloud 3 would be amazing for me. Now, I don't think it will ever happen.
Right.
It's my wish that I throw it out there every year.
And just, yeah, it's not a prediction, it's a wish.
I feel like if it were going to be shown at any press conference, it would most likely get a little clip during Sony's beat roll there at the very end.
Yeah.
And that would just make me really happy. It really would.
That'd be sweet.
I'm one of very few people out there that are clamoring for this, and I think it's dead in the water, but it is on the wish list.
Who knows?
I want to see more Detroit.
More Detroit.
More Detroit.
There you go.
We want to kind of know a little bit more. You know, they showed this just this one instance in the game, you know, over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Different ways that it would play out.
Yeah, I'd like to know how much of the game's like that.
Yeah.
I want to see people walking around in a world. I want to see what that gameplay looks like.
That'd be cool.
And, yeah, that's it. I have some predictions, but that's it for my wish.
All right.
That's
now.
It for my wish.
So, for my wishes, I want a Ni No Kuni 2 release date.
Okay.
So, you know, did you ever play Ni No Kuni, Legend of the White Witch?
No, I didn't. You know I didn't.
I don't know that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, your life. Okay. One of the better JRPGs to release in years past. Level 5 developed.
Okay.
Fantastic game. And they're doing a sequel. It's called Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom. And it looks like it's just going to expand upon the world a little bit. I think there's going to be some shifts in gameplay because the first one was kind of like this interesting mix between a turn-based RPG and a bit of a Pokemon game at the same time. So, loved it. Loved the art. The cutscenes are done by Studio Ghibli, of whom I'm a great fan. Make fantastic anime films. So, I was excited that they were going to come back to that series. So I want to see that. And I want to see a Hellblade release date because they still haven't announced one.
What is Hellblade?
Hellblade is an interesting game developed by Ninja Theory. I don't know if you're familiar with that dev team, but they are making a game about a female Celtic warrior who is fighting and is also suffering from mental illness at the same time.
Interesting.
And this game looks amazing. And I love the concept. I love the idea of like tackling a perception, a primitive perception of a mental illness at, you know, in this, you know, pre-Roman Europe.
Yeah.
And it just looks amazing.
Is Ninja, you said Ninja Theory made it? Are they the ones that brought Ninja Gaiden to the Xbox years back?
I think so. I think it's the same team. I feel like that's a little redundant, and it just doesn't click in my brain, but I think it is.
Okay.
But, yeah, this game looks amazing, and then they've been sort of teasing it for a while, independently developed. They're using some really cool tech to do some, like, I encourage you to look it up if you're interested in this sort of thing. They do a lot of facial animation tracking in real time. So they would put these face trackers and, you know, the mocap stuff on the actress who's playing the leading character. And, like, they would just have her act it out in real time in the game. Like, it wasn't like, we're going to capture that and then put it in there and then keyframe it and make it go from there. It's just like, she's standing there in this bodysuit with these dots on her face, and you look in the game, and it's just mimicking her in the moment, like rendering. It's amazing.
They made the Devil May Cry PS3 version.
Okay.
They didn't make what I thought they made.
Okay.
But yeah, that's that sounds interesting.
No, it's good. It looks very cool.
Very obscure and out there, which I dig. Predictions. I think we'll see a little more God of Woe.
Yeah, probably so.
A little more God of Woe.
Probably so.
I would not be surprised if Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue III got no show or mention.
I would also not be surprised at that. I know there was recently a statement from one of the people at Square Enix saying that, yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3, they'll release sometime within the next 3 years or so. So, yeah, I don't expect to see anything from either of those as well as Shenmue. No. I just don't think there's going to be anything. Yeah.
Take your time. Make a good game. Don't rush it.
Yeah.
I predict that Kojima will he'll forget he's not supposed to let us know that he's really God and accidentally levitate across the stage.
Yeah, that's possible.
I think that'll happen.
that's hilarious. So my predictions is we will see more on Detroit. I don't think we'll get a release date yet, but I think we'll see more on it. Also, I don't think we're going to see anything from God of War.
I just said a little more God of War when you said, yeah, probably.
I know. I just baiting you into that.
Why not?
I just don't think we're going to. I think that they're just, it's going to be one of those things where you just let simmer.
I think they close out the show with a release date.
No, we're not getting a release date. We're not getting a release date for that.
It'll be like second quarter 2018 or something.
I think it'll be shown in like a sizzle reel or maybe the opening bit. It might get mentioned, but I don't think we're going to see a specific section of the show dedicated to it like we did last year.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
I don't think we will.
Okay.
I also think that Gio Corsi of Sony and PlayStation will be the only person to mention Vita.
Is Vita dead?
Yeah.
But why would he mention it?
Because there's like a small group of people known as Vita Island who love the Vita and they want the Vita games still to be made. And as a service to them, he always comes out and says, hey, I do hashtag building the list. We hear you. We know what games you want. We're releasing some cool ones. And guess what? They're coming to Vita. And he'll be the only person to mention it.
Okay.
Yep.
And what else?
Last but not least, I think there's going to be a price cut for PS4 base model.
Do you think that'll be a reaction to like Scorpio?
Yeah, I think it's a perfect time to do it because Scorpio is going to, I'm pretty sure, as I said last time, we're going to get a release date and a price point for Scorpio.
Sure.
And I think that in response to that, Sony's going to be like, hey, by the way, we're still winning this generation. And now is a perfect time to buy a PS4 because now it's only $199.
Good. I'll get one then.
I don't think it'll be $199. I think it'll be $249.
Shut it.
But I think there will be a price cut to the base models.
Okay.
Not the Pro.
Okay.
Maybe the Pro, but I think there will be some kind of price cut.
Okay. Well, I think that does it for our show, folks.
It do!
I think that was our exhaustive wish list and predictions for E3 2017. We've covered all six of the major presentations for that expo out there in Los Angeles. I'm excited, man.
I am too. Week away.
Yeah, when this it's a week away. You know, we're recording this at damn nigh 3 p.m. on a Sunday, and I think that's about the start time for EA next week, right? I
think it is.
Something close to that. So
damn close.
So a week away, we're excited. We expect to hear more from you. Share your predictions and and your wish list there with us on Twitter. You can find us there at Polykill individually. I am at TravPlaysGames.
And I am at the McAxel.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PolykillPodcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Rate us on iTunes, please. Let us know. Brag about it after you do it. Rub it in. You can find all of our stuff, including Brian's blogs, our videos, Brian's videos. Brian doesn't have any videos. Me and Brian made a Verrett video once, and Jake's box opening stuff on polykill.com. And you can find us on cartridgeclub.org. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
And hit us up on polykillpodcast@gmail.com with all of your
concert stories.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.